Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back, redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers are trapped inside of a terrifying museum coming to life. Adrian and Red are being chased by a T-Rex and the undead body of King Tut. Richter is having tea with a monster inside his mind as his body has disappeared. Worst of all, Red and Adrian have collided with a legion of knights. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
Red, in all of the various fights that you've been in, you've never faced armor-clad knights before. So, you know, in an otherwise uneventful evening in a museum-type building, things have gone from mummy to knights, as they say, as my grandpappy used to say. you're being dragged by Adrian, who was sprinting, having seen the spoopiness of the mummies, and of course watching one of the fake mummy mafiosas get chomped by a skeletal T-Rex, which is now stomping just deliciously into the central room. You're being dragged away. What do you do?
Does it look like Adrian is carrying me towards danger or away from danger?
Well, he was carrying you away from danger. So if we want to imagine this room, I realize I've done a shit job of explaining where you are. So we're in kind of a massive central room that connects to a bunch of these different exhibits. So there are sort of a few glass... And we talked about this. So there's like a few Egyptian sort of artifacts around in glass cabinets. There's also a few benches for tired people or chilrans. Nowhere to charge your phone because it's the 30s, but eventually this is where you would charge your phone. At the sort of north end of this room that you've just escaped is the Tutankhamun exhibit that's still in the process of being set up. You've only seen the front part of it. There's still a lot of exhibit behind it, but unfortunately, your exploration was cut short by King Tut himself waking up. To the west is the way you came in, where the dinosaurs are awaking and ruling the earth. To the east is what was the escape vector, but unfortunately you've been cut off by a bunch of knights. There also is another exit to the south, but you can be sure there's some more whimsical bullshit down there. So also old man Richter is missing.
So yeah. Adrian will still be carrying Red under an arm like the nuclear football, if you're looking for the image of what's going on. And he is thrilled when he sees the knights, because he remembers very few things about his childhood, but he remembers stories of knights and dragons. And he goes, "Don't worry, we're going to be fine. Knights, help us with this bone dragon." And he just points at the T-Rex.
Ryan, I love asking you to roll these. I'm going to need a persuade or a fast talk. Probably a persuade. I don't think you're trying to con them.
No.
Alternatively, I'd take history. These are all your strong suits, and I'm giving
you all. Is persuade a skill? I think charm,
it
maybe?
Is. No, it's between it's operate heavy machinery and pilot.
It's a skill
okay,
I have.
Let's see what my best options are here. Okay, I got persuade, which is a 10.
Oh, God.
I got Fast Talk, which is a 5.
Oh, God.
What was my other option? History, which is a 5.
So the base level stats for all three.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go with Persuade.
Ryan, I will, before you roll that.
I was going to request on Addie's behalf that some concessions be made. These are our knights from a bygone era, you know, and we as people have made like great leaps and bounds socially, but from their perspective, their limited, archaic perspective, Addie is carrying a damsel in distress.
And he did mention a bone dragon. So Ryan, I'm going to give you a straight 50% shot on this.
Okay.
No extreme success, just pass fail 50%. For both the damsel and the dragon. Granted, they're not used to damsels in like weird rain waiting gear, but you know, they get what's up. They're a bunch of misogynists.
How to leverage those biases when the chips are down, mm-hmm. You know?
So Tom, 50-50, what happens if I roll a clean 50? Like right in the middle. What happens?
Did you roll a clean 50?
No, but I rolled a 76 and I have 26 points of luck.
Oh my God.
All right. Yeah, if you roll a clean 50, you will need to persuade the knights that you are, in fact, one of them through an act of valor. You remember this from the stories. So they're on side. They're into it. They can see you're carrying a damsel, but you could also be a kidnapper. They are uncertain. So you'll have to perform an act of valor to gain their trust.
Okay. I'm going to use the luck then. I'm in.
This is a wise decision.
So I'm going to use
otherwise
the
you were going to fight a lot of knights.
No, and I'm not going to do that.
Let's just remind everybody that I have 3 health.
Yeah. I think what he's going to yell is, "Protect my boss!" But what they hear, because he says things terribly, is "protect my boobs," which could debatably be protecting a woman. And then he's just going to take the sword or whatever biggest weapon a knight has from them, and he's going to lead the charge against the bone dragon.
What do you yell as you charge?
This is bad!
And behind you, just yell, he's our king now! Wow. The knights charge. Meanwhile, at a tea time of the mind, old man Richter, you are sitting with something that has taken the form of Sally, but seems drastically different from the young girl you knew. But at least it's no longer stabbing you, so that's pretty good. This is some market progress.
Yeah.
However, you have been informed that you're also on an errand, that your body is on an errand. So the Sally creature sitting across from you sort of tilts her head in a very childish way that you remember the Sally of yore was like to do when thinking through a particularly difficult question. She kind of bites her lip in again, a vaguely childlike way, and just says,
Well, it would seem that we are nearing our objective here, so I do believe our time is somewhat short, Mr. Richter. But you have been searching for us for quite some time, so I do think it's only fair that we answer at least a couple of your questions as we wait for your fleshier parts to finish their particular quest, as it were. Punch the mystery, if you will. Richter, I'm going to need you to roll me, please, I think this one's going to have to be a mythos check.
Okay, I got my mythos stat written down here.
I know you're more jacked up on a cult.
Oh, yeah. I blow way past my mythos stat, so that's a fail.
Fail? Okay.
Yeah.
Then please roll me... I'm going to need a sanity check from you there, sir.
Okay. That is also a fail.
Okay. You can feel the edges of your mind beginning to tear and fray. We just rewatched Guardians of the Galaxy the other night, and I'm reminded of the mortal people trying to hold an Infinity Stone and just what that does to you. So trying to create a space. It's not even that the Sally creature is doing this, just the sheer act of containing this within your mind rather than letting it kind of run rampant as it was is beginning to fray your mind. So your time is tremendously short. Do you have a Dyson for any of those, sir?
Yeah. What do you want?
Like a D6? Okay. So you're going to take 3 points of sanity damage. And then I'd like you to roll a D3, please. So it's a D6 where 1 and 2 are 1, 3 and 4 are 2, and 5 and 6 are 3.
So that's a 3.
3? Great. So you will have, before this all kind of collapses, you will have 2 questions that you can ask the Sally creature sitting across from you. If you recall, I know for those of you listening, this probably seems like it's happening immediately after what it was. But for those of us recording, it could have been 5 years. I'm not quite sure anymore. Time's a flat circle, et cetera. So as a refresher, Tyler, you've gotten a few answers from the Sally creature kind of about its nature, but things were still pretty up in the air. And you still had a lot of question marks floating around. You're still not certain that this is, if the creature is just taking the form of Sally, if Sally is involved, what its connection to you is, to Ingrid, to Helmfirth, all that's still up in the air. So you will have 2 questions you can ask before tea time is done. But I'm going to give you a hot second to think about those because that would be a little rough to have to pull in the moment. So with overly extended spindly fingers, daintily clutching a small teacup, the Sally creature raises the glass to its lips and just says, "So, old man Richter, what's on your mind?" And takes a sip. Red, you're being dragged away from combat into what seems to be the armament exhibit. You have
like by knights?
Yes, by two knights. So two suits of armor just dragging you to safety. You can tell from the way they're dressed. I was a big this will not surprise you. As a big history nerd, as a kid, I was always fascinated by the armor exhibits, and I loved like going around. Obviously, you'd see the like the full knight armor, but there'd always be that one shitty suit of armor where you're like, whatever. And then the more you learn, you're like, oh no, that's what most people were wearing. And then there's like one rich asshole wearing like the full plate. But like for most people, it was just like, well, here's a badly hammered tin can that you could wear over your heart, basically, and the rest of its loincloth. You're being dragged by those guys. So it's two clearly kind of foot soldiery guys. They look like they're wearing those sort of classically German, like the big puffy ribbon sleeves and the big puffy ribbon pants. And they're wearing like the big sort of floppy pillow cushion hats. They are, of course, mannequins, so the faces are completely blank. But they're dragging you rapidly away, and through the kind of vague muting of foam, you just hear one of them say, "I can't believe we got to save a real princess." And the other one's like, "Yes, we are saving the princess. This is good, yeah." And two former enemies on the field of battle are now allies in dragging you to safety. Red, you hate this. What do you do?
I really do. This is the worst. What happens if I just try to struggle out of their grasp?
You can roll me, please, a...
Remember how hurt you are?
Yeah, she doesn't, but we do. what the fuck would this be?
Would it just be strength?
I think it might just be, yeah, I'm trying to find a better skill, but there isn't. I was looking for like Brawl because we've been playing so much fucking Vampire, but
Fighting Brawl. That's its thing.
Oh, hey, there we go.
That's so much worse than my strength.
No, I'll give you strength.
Okay.
Fighting Brawl would be like, I'm going to like muscle my way out like with writhing and fighting. Strength is literally just like I'm being pulled away by felt.
Yeah, just get your hands off me kind of thing. Yeah. All right.
You damn dirty mannequin apes.
All right, come on. Oh, no.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favorite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Hey everybody, Tom McGee here, your friendly neighborhood DM, and I just wanted to thank you so much for listening to our shows. I hope you're having a great time. Obviously we are. I'm probably really stressed because they're probably doing something horrible to me right now, but I hope you're enjoying it, and we're enjoying you being here. And listen, if you want to get a little bit more involved in our show and with the various things we do, you can check out
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice,
where you can find more information about how you can become a part of the show, how you can screw with me on air, how you can add names and all that sort of stuff. And it's a great way to support us and our ongoing dumb adventures. So thanks very much for joining us, and I will see you out there in the Dumbverse.
No, that's such a huge fail.
All right, so Claire,
what number did you roll?
84, baby. My strength is 50.
Oh, you are lucky I rolled low. Take 1 point of damage from struggling against horrible metal things. You are dragged past the armor and armaments, and you just see like halberds and swords and muskets and katanas, just all manner of cool weapons. And then you're dragged further back into a small room that's well appointed with decorative plates and tables and just incredible gowns. And they're like, as long as you're safe, you might as well get something a little bit more proper for a lady. They begin to like the German fellow like hoists you up as the British foot soldier goes over and starts looking at dresses, and just with like his face is blank, but even so you can just see the envy on this blank mannequin's face at how beautiful these gowns are compared to like the shit that he's wearing. Like he's just like he's feeling them. He's like clearly very jealous of these gowns. But he proceeds to try and pick out a gown for you. The German soldier has been told to take care of you. So that's what he's gonna do. But you've got some options that don't involve fighting your way out. You can also try and talk your way out. So Claire, how do you try and convince a German Teutonic foot soldier to let you go? It's probably the wrong era, but get at me, Teutonic Germany Twitter.
Say, not anymore. Now he's Teutonic. We only vaguely describe the armor.
oh, Christ. I'll look at him. So I get, okay, so I get what's going on here. This is the most embarrassing thing that has probably happened to her in a very long time.
More embarrassing than the time that you drove a car into a wall and almost died?
Yes, yes. Because
she would prefer that.
Yeah, I would prefer that because that was at least of my own volition.
Gotcha. Course of action.
Yeah. I think she'll... Okay, so she'll look at this knight. I'll look at the knight and just be like, I will command you to take your hands off your princess, sir.
And you, again, there's no eyes, but in a very much like Spider-Man's cowl way, you can almost see eyebrows raise. And there's just a moment of like panicked indecision. Because chivalry was a real thing. And so like, this is concerning, but also has to keep you safe. But also you gave him an order and also you outrank him maybe. So you can tell he's a bit confused. Go ahead and roll me a fast talk or an intimidate, please.
Okay. That is a hard success with fast talk.
Okay. So he says, yeah, that is a fair request. And he just like puts you down awkwardly, not really being sure what else to do, and releases you.
Great. Both of you stand to attention.
And the British guy turns around and is like, what? No, she's no real princess. Look at that. She's wearing trousers.
Do you want me to get my husband, the king, involved?
I was going to say, outside you just hear the clashing of metal on metal and roars of a T-Rex.
So we'll get there, Ryan. Don't worry.
Oh,
don't
no.
Worry.
I'm just imagining that as a background to an argument through about clothing.
I also like that you're a princess whose husband is the king.
Look, it's a fucked up family, okay?
I like it as like Red's just read in the moment of like, I'm a princess, so kings, right?
Yeah. Yes. Well, but also admittedly, no, like the fun thing about the Night at the Museum motif is that you've got people from all sorts of different time periods and kingdoms. So conceivably this could be true. Mm-hmm. They're just not sure. Mm-hmm. So you can see there's a bit of confusion. And they're kind of looking back and forth in kind of like a, well, what do we do? What do we, and then finally, the German soldier just nods and says, yeah, this seems correct to me, which is the point at which the katana slices through his neck. As a samurai mannequin boots his body over and just points at you. Because, you know, warrior, you know, game, respect, game. It levels the katana and charges. Meanwhile, outside, sure enough, Adrian, I'm not going to say you always knew it would come to this, but like maybe you always knew it was going to come to this. You're leading a charge of mismatched knights against a T-Rex. In your head, you just kind of hear a voice say, well, I'd always hoped, but I never expected. Let us do this.
Oh. Yeah, this is happening.
all right, Ryan, you're charging a T-Rex with a bastard sword, as one does. Give me a brawl.
Dope.
Hang on, I'll have to look up my stats for skeletal T-Rex in the Cthulhu book. You know, that standard H.P. Lovecraft motif.
Yeah.
That is a hard success.
Oh, damn. All right. I'm going to roll to dodge as the T-Rex, but I got to tell you, it's not really... Yeah, no, dodging's not the skeletal thing. All right, so Ryan, what do you do as you fly at this T-Rex?
I think he's going straight for the head, because if it's doing that T-Rex, like, low run, he's hoping he can just take off the top of the jaw. Like, it's one of those, it's a charging full William Wallace with that sword as long as you smash. Sword as hammer.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So, let me just look up what the damage value is on a sword. I gotta hope this book has that. It's got a lot of assault weapons.
I have the damage for a gun.
No, I got it.
All right.
Sword, heavy, cavalry saber. Well, that's not entirely correct, but it's might be the best we get. But they've got nunchucks. Again, like, truly some strange things. And chainsaws. Oh, that's nice. Okay, Ryan. So this is 1d8. Plus one, plus your damage bonus, which I believe...
It's a d6 for me. I have mine.
Great. So 2d6 plus one.
Sorry, d8 or d6?
Oh, sorry. 1d8, 1d6, plus one. Guys, we so rarely do anything that isn't a gun. It's so confusing, but we got
that. That is 13.
Whew. Damn. So it's a T-Rex, so it's still up. But it looks pretty fucked up. You cleave half of the skull off, and the jaw kind of hangs awkwardly, and like it's still able to snap shut for narrative and danger purposes. But it is heavily, heavily injured. Not bloody per se, but injured. So with that, you cleave half of the head off, and then it can't, because its jaw's hanging loose, it can't bite you, but it is just going to, like, fucking do that head bash thing that it does to characters who the director doesn't want to die in Jurassic Park. So go ahead and roll me either a dodge, or, I mean, it's probably just a dodge. I don't think you can really stand your ground against that. So yeah, let's go with a dodge. Just get out of the way.
For my dodge, that is a hard success.
Amazing. So you're smashed by the head of this dinosaur. Oof. You'll take 4 points of damage as you're like thrown through the air and kind of crashing backward through a display. As you hit the ground, you see the mummy stalking forward. beyond the mummy, you can see a broken tablet on the ground, which looks like exactly the kind of thing that Grandpa Richard would be really good at figuring out. But you also don't know where Grandpa Richard is. But also, if you want to make all the spooky things go away, you might need his help.
Well, I think he's still inside the sarcophagus, right? Because if I haven't seen it since I put him in it, or have I?
You guys ran past and it was open and empty, but I don't know whether you clocked that. Red.
No, I think he would have gone, Grandpa's in a box. So,
gotcha.
Okay, he's got to kill the T-Rex and then get the tablet so he could show it to Grandpa. That's 1, 2, 3.
So you kind of struggle to your feet, and suddenly you feel a heavy metal hand slam down on your shoulder. And you look, and there's just a knight in full plate mail, like, staring down at you. And he says,
"That was the most idiotically heroic thing that I have ever seen. I believe you may in fact be the reincarnation of Arthur, King of Knights."
"Oh, wow.
Are you in fact Arthur reborn as the legends told?"
"My name is Adrian Diesel."
"Arthur Diesel. We knew he would come in a different form."
And the knight stands to its full height and says,
"My king, I think you might need this more than me."
And he unbuckles his metal tuxedo and it slowly falls away from his mannequin form. And then he just holds up the breastplate to you and he says,
"Will you lead us again, Arthur King?"
"Oh, wow. Yeah, cool."
he'll take off his bow tie and put it on the mannequin as a trade. So the mannequin will still have something.
So every Christmas, I weep openly when Scrooge gets that tiny scarf from Beaker. Feeling a little bit that just now. He says,
"Ah, yes, the neck piece of command. My lord, I will serve you as best I can. Pray tell, where is the wizard Merlin?"
"Oh, I put him in a box over there."
I feel like Adrian is now almost forgotten that he's not Arthur and his friends are not Arthurian characters. So, you know, Maid Marian, who he thinks is an Arthur character, not a Robin Hood character, is back in the other room.
So the first knight of the Order of the Bowtie stands and yells,
"Gawain, see to Merlin. He is in that there large human box."
And one of the knights that is currently punching a raptor into dust, because those skeletons are fucking small, because they are small dinosaurs. Don't let Spielberg twist your brain. It's a Deinonychus. So it just smashes this fucking tiny raptor and then goes running in a hilarious, like, you know, fucking Steiner in Final Fantasy IX running backwards run over to the sarcophagus to find Merlin. Adrian, you strap on the chest plate. Do you strap on the rest of the armor? I know that technically armor takes a long time to get on, but we're going in like camera pans away, pans back, and you're wearing it kind of thing.
In the spirit of realism, no. In the spirit of this show, oh, fuck yeah. He's in full armor now. Great. And he is goddamn huge, because he's huge to begin with, plus armor.
So here's my real question, though. Do you put on the helm?
I feel like he'd put it on and then be like, "I can't see." And then he'd like lift the thing up. So he's like the weirdest space marine characters where it's just back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like wearing the helmet, like a baseball cap.
Yeah.
Amazing. So with that, you look at your sorted Knights of the Sherwood Table. You've got your first Knight of the Bowtie. And you actually feel like maybe this is what you're meant to be doing. This is what it was all for. Until Sir Gawain yells,
"Oh, sorry about this. There doesn't seem to be anyone in this box. It's rather empty, aside from this here skeleton fellow,"
and he pulls out a mummy.
"Uh-oh. Okay, someone check if that's Merlin. Everybody else, we gotta kill that mummy, and someone bring me those rocks. Go team!
And then he's just gonna charge the mummy.
And they all yell, Verily, for the team! So wait, you're charging the mummy?
Yeah, he's got to help them. He's got to lead from the front. He's Arthur.
I understand. Great. You hold your swords overhead and you charge King Tut. Man, there are some sentences. I mean, I planned this, so I should have known. There are some sentences coming out of my mouth that I did not expect today, but I'm very thrilled to have. So with that, King Arthur Diesel charged King Tutankhamun. And truly, the clash of kings began.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice. And on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Caitlin O, Zekin X, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
You wake up startled in the middle of the night, convinced that there's something out there in the darkness. Your brain tells you that there's nothing to be afraid of, that the inhuman shape in the corner of your room is just your laundry piled on a chair. But as you hear the ghostly, ragged breathing that doesn't belong to you, you realize your brain is dead wrong. If you love the mix of horror, mystery, and comedy in shows like Buffy, Ash vs. the Evil Dead, or Supernatural, you'll feel right at home on The Crit Show, a Monster of the Week actual play podcast where the players, playing as themselves, are tasked with being the last line of defense from the forces of evil that go bump in the night. Join us every Wednesday and learn the games we play while the gang tries their best to solve the mysteries, hunt the monsters, and protect the innocent. Their intentions are good. Their dice rolls, not so much. You can find The Crit Show at thecritshowpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.